I want to see if you recognize this, today's guest. It starts off slow. We can't even hear it. Can you hear it? Does it sound familiar? Trying to remember it? We can keep this going. Can we keep playing? Can we play it while I talk? Is it okay to keep it going in the background? It's kind of a long... The guest is Paul Cronshaw. Keep it going. I love that music. Keep it going. I don't know if we can play it. Thank you. Paul Cronshaw, the Bee Rescue Hotline. I've been promoting the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association for many years. They're online at sbba.org. And you can call them at 699-6229. You don't recognize this? Can we play it? Turn it up? I just love this song. My girlfriend Janine, when I was in the late 70s, played this as fast as this. I found this on YouTube. It's a Asian gal playing it like an insanely fast pace. It's the Flight of the Bumblebees. You're familiar? You know it. Okay, thanks for coming in, Paul.
You're welcome. I'm here.
Welcome back to Radio Real Estate. Yeah, Paul Cronshaw, wearing his Be Well and Be Happy t-shirt, his signature t-shirt. So of all the things, Saturday I'm washing, I put a bucket of water, a soapy water, and I wanted to just wash my front windshield and back windshield. I was going out and it was kind of dirty, so I have a squeegee. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I do it, and then I go, I got the second car, I'll do that. And I reach in, I start rubbing it, and I get stung. I didn't know it was stung by a bee, and I look down, and I see a barb in there, and I pull it out, and I go, what the heck was that? And it was and then I saw a bee that had floated down seeking water onto the rag, and I didn't look, and I grabbed. So fortunately, the bee stings me, he dies, right?
It's a she, to correct you here right now. They're all females, and when they sting, they do lose their stinger and stuck in you, and of course, it's like someone ripping your backside out. And as a result, they die.
That's a horrible analogy.
But they don't do it on purpose. You know, instinct in their brain says, no, don't sting and I'm going to die situation. So they were protecting themselves. That was the last thing they could do. You know, big hand coming down on them, like Jolly Green Giant's foot coming down on you. They react.
Right, right. And I imagine if they're together in a group, maybe some will protect the hive or protect the greater good and kind of the fallen, the pawns, they go first.
Yeah, you're lucky because sometimes they'll put out what's called a kill factor. It's a pheromone that comes out of them, and then they call their friends in and say, hey, it's time to protect me. So that's what it is. It's a protection factor.
send in the clowns. Oh, my gosh.
Send in the squads.
Well, so meanwhile... Yeah. So I washed, I didn't know what to do. I washed it with soapy water, and then I went online, and they said cool water would help, so that helped. Mm-hmm. And then I went further, and then I saw ammonia, which is an alkaline, and they say the stinger is an acid. So would you agree with that?
Yeah, it works also. Yeah, some people use onions, clay. There's lots of different kind of formulas that will neutralize it, but it's going to go into your system, so it's just a localized.
Right, so it doesn't do you much good.
Yeah, because it's like alcohol.
I wish I would have put the ammonia on first because I did the cold water, and that probably closed the wound.
That's right. It helps with the antihistamine response that happens.
So it didn't. And then I happen to have some hydrocortisone cream. But in the meantime, it's almost 48 hours later, and so you're not concerned?
No.
Paul?
No. Not concerned. Yeah, just a localized reaction. Everybody has allergic reactions to bee stings. Even myself, after 40 years, I've been stung many, many, many times. I still have a little bit of a welt. But others can have more of a systemic, which goes up the arm or the hand. And, of course, the ultimate one is anaphylactic shock here. But that's very, very rare amongst beekeepers or amongst people here. So, fortunately, there are a few people who do have to carry around EpiPens. And the EpiPens are, of course, the injection ones. And then, of course, getting to the hospital, that needs to be the case in a case. But I haven't come across too many people over my career of beekeeping that have an anaphylactic shock.
And so they just have an extreme
allergic reaction, yes. Localized or systemic.
What else? What do you carry EpiPens? What else do you carry EpiPens for?
EpiPens are for other ones like shellfish and people allergic to other things like nuts and that kind of stuff.
Oh,
too.
Okay. So... The Beekeepers Association is in town. If you have a beehive where it's just too close to the house, not working for you, you don't call the pest control company. You call the Bee Rescue Hotline at 699 6229, and they'll figure out a way, hopefully, to relocate the hive.
Right, exactly. We don't really use that number anymore. We have it just off the internet now. So you go to the sbba.org, and that then will refer you to the vector control list. And we have a lot of beekeepers who are on the vector control list who you can go through and do that. Yeah, so.
Well, I'm glad you told me that. I've only been giving out this number for the last 9 years.
That's okay. The number still goes to a person here, and that person then forwards it on to us also.
Okay.
So
okay.
It works all too. Okay. But we're in the transition of changing that number too. So.
Well, because there are like 4 or 5 people in Santa Barbara that don't have a computer, so we want those people
I know,
to be
exactly.
able to call you.
Yep.
So honeybees in, we all heard about they're in trouble. Why are the honeybees, why are they in trouble, and why is it so important for us to have them not be in trouble?
Well, let's start with that first one about what's the importance of bees or honeybees and for the planet and for California. It has to do with one word, pollination. Okay, bees pollinate plants, and what do plants produce is food. So 1 in 3 bites of a food that you eat is usually pollinated by a pollinator. Honeybees, of course, the big ones that do that. The second one would be the importance is honey. Okay, we have lots of people that have sweet teeth and they like to eat honey. And then also cosmetics and polishing candles and things like polishing candles also. But the big thing in California is almonds. Okay, the bees come in from many parts of the country to pollinate the flowers up in the valley called almonds.
They're trucked in.
Yep. 1 million bees. Sometimes they need 1.6 million bees every springtime for 3 weeks to do the pollination of almonds.
So they truck in the hives, like these boxes of hives, the way
right.
you relocated the hive from
yep.
my house.
Yep.
And they're able to, they quietly get trucked in. So it's funny, for an animal that will sting you and cause pain and then die,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing how you can control them.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the art of beekeeping. And they're wild creatures. Well, I always tell people, can you domesticate bees? Well, no, they're wild creatures. So that's why it's important that when you become a beekeeper, it takes 3 to 5 years. In my experience, to become a beekeeper, or that you can, I don't have to mentor somebody, I can hand them off a little bit and they can do their own thing. But some people jump in faster than others to learn how it works. But it's a phenomenal art and it's a science too.
So you learn to, they're wild animals, you learn to just work within their, yeah. The first time I met you, mm-hmm. and you came out to my house and I had a hive, there must have been, in the end, we probably thought there were 50,000 bees yeah. under my mm-hmm. shed. Mm-hmm. And you're like, reaching in, they're swarming all over you, mm-hmm. and you're like, it's like a day at the beach,
right.
I thought you were going to light a cigarette and just sit back and relax.
No, they call it the bee whispering. It's a certain amount of mode you got to go into in your mind, so you become a bee whisperer.
You do have this smoker thing. It's not
oh,
cigarettes.
Yeah. No, it's a smoker. Yeah, the smoke is a signal for the bees that their house is going to burn down, so they better get their wares and leave, so they gorge with honey, and then they get a little bit lazy. It also disrupts their communication, so it calms them down.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you mm-hmm. think the old-time beekeepers, when people were smoking cigarettes, do you think
no.
they were just blowing smoke?
No, it happens to be them. From the old day here, too. So, for example, if a bee was living in a tree, beehive in a tree, and the tree was approached by a forest fire, the forest fire is going to burn their colony down. Well, they learned how to, over the long time, they've been around 14 million years, they learned how to pick up their wares, which is a bunch of honey, get everybody out of the hive and leave, and then their hive would burn down, of course. But they would be in the air traveling to someplace else as a colony or a swarm, and they would find another tree maybe 2 or 3 miles away where the forest fire hadn't been there, and they'd set up housekeeping again. So it's an instinctive way of going. So the bees then have this little thing
well,
about fire.
Well, I guess fire and smoke, most animals, and I don't know about yeah. insects, kind of know
yeah.
it's just not a good thing.
That's right.
We need the bees, and
the bees need us,
and they need us. But you had said something I was going to follow up on. I don't know how long they've been around.
14 million years.
What? So, I know what I was going to say. You were talking about the almonds bringing these millions of 1.6 million bees, and of course with the drought, because we're going to talk about the drought and how it's hurting the bees. But do you remember the whole thing? Almonds were on the chopping block because it takes like.
What they say, hit 2 5-gallons to make one almond or 2 gallons of water to make
2 gallons of water to make one almond, which just blows people away.
Right,
and I interviewed someone from the city or the water district, and his counter was, well, you know how much water it takes to produce a steering wheel or how much water, so everything takes water.
Mm-hmm.
But, the argument, and believe me, I eat almonds and I know mm-hmm. it's an industry and we just mm-hmm. can't throw industries under the bus. But that is kind of scary, 2 gallons of water for one almond.
Yeah,
I've got a package of almonds right with me, actually, probably about 10 almonds.
Right.
So So we're in trouble with the drought, and the bees are in trouble with the drought.
Because here, how it works. When you have no rain, there's no flowers. And, of course, flowers produce the nectar, which the bees change into honey. And when you don't have the nectar, you don't have the population of bees around. So this year, I usually get 60 or 70 calls for swarms. I've only had 3 or 4. So the bees are controlling their population and not swarming out into the community like they've been doing in the past. That's one thing that's happening. And so they regulate their population within the hive based upon the assets. And what I mean by assets is pollen is their protein and nectar and honey is their carbohydrates. So if those aren't out there because of water and rain and flowering plants, they hunker down or we don't have the population growth. So it's been a tough year for bees. And so also the honey production has been down too. And I always tell people this is the first time in 40 years of my beekeeping career that I haven't been able to hand out any honey, because I don't sell my honey, I give it as gifts, to people for Christmas presents. Because I'm leaving the honey on the hives for the bees. And that's what I'm recommending the beekeeping community do.
Oh,
is
right.
Keep it on there, because we have until the next spring, which is, 6 or 7 months, we better leave as much as the honey we have. And if we don't, then we have to end up feeding them sugar water, which is, sugar with water, 1-to-1 ratio. In my opinion, it makes fat and lazy bees. And also, I had a case here just before I got here where some of the bees were getting in someone's hummingbird feeders.
Yes.
And they're competing with the bird feeders. And, of course, that's creating some distress for a lot of people.
As soon as you mentioned sugar and water, I've been thinking about getting a hummingbird feeder. Right. I had a client who had 2 or 3 of them. And he just would have dozens and dozens and dozens. It was insane. He was doing it 20 years.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So there's models out there that I've learned of various hummingbird feeders that you need to get one that has a screen over it, because if it just has a hole, the bees will crawl into the hole and then actually compete with the hummingbird coming in. So there's various models I'm learning about what is the better hummingbird feeder to buy, which will keep the bees out.
Thank you for doing that. Of course, we want to help the bees, but we don't want them to sting the poor hummingbirds.
That's right. Or compete with their food.
And a friend of mine who says she wants to become a beekeeper. She's in training. I think she might know you. I don't know. And she talked about she has a little bird feeder or water.
Water,
bird
feed, like a bird bath.
And she puts wine corks in the... You know about this?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Tell me.
Yeah. So when people are starting to plant flowers... Okay, like we're having what's called pollinator-friendly yards, which, by the way, is highly recommended these days, drought-tolerant plants, is it's a good idea to put some bird baths out there. And when you put the bird baths out there, the bees can drown in that water. So wine corks, I found, is the best thing because it floats and it gives them a chance for them to land on, and then they will crawl over the edge of the wine cork, and they will take their sip, and then they will fly away so they won't drown. Wine corks work great. So they're floating on wine corks and getting a sip of water.
It's insane. And they're smart. They obviously know to land on something.
Right. Yeah, bird baths work the best here. Some people are also putting out little bowls of water, put rocks in it and things like that. But corks work the best.
Because as the water evaporates, all things float with the tide. Yeah. As the economists like to say, everything rises with the tide. That's an economical expression. I started thinking of maybe having like a... You can take 4 corks and then lay a I was thinking of like a screen laying on top of the water. Mm-hmm. But the cork would have to be on top of the screen. Otherwise, it would be too high or something.
But corks by themselves.
Good enough.
Yep.
Good enough.
Yep.
I was trying to we can invent something. You can't sell corks. But if we could build something, then you could sell it.
Well, it would be a bee raft, wouldn't it? The bees would be able to sun out there on the raft and they would just kind of float in the water. Yeah,
yes.
Bee raft. Like they used to have at the Miramar a long time ago. We used to have the raft out in the water where people would swim out to.
Oh, that's coming back, you know.
I know.
Very soon. We just had Matt Middlebrook on a couple of weeks ago.
There you go.
And they're
going to
be...
Bringing the raft back.
Bringing the raft back. Talking with Paul Cronshaw, Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association.
Co-founded it with Todd Bebb about 4 years ago. And it's
4 years.
4 years. It's been 4 years.
I thought you've been 40 years you've been doing this.
Well, I've been doing it for 40 years, keeping bees for 40 years. I started when I was in high school, Santa Barbara High School. There was my teacher had a beehive in the back of the classroom, which had a plexiglass window. And I used to sit back there and listen, not to him, but listen to the bees. And I got stung. So I had bee fever from there on. And there was a guy up in Len Schnellenberg, which is now, I think, Richard's Realty up in the Mesa. We used to have a bee store up there in that little complex. And he sold bee parts, and I got to be a good friend of his, and he got me started. But I bought my first hive not from him. I actually bought it from Sears Catalog. and Sears catalog they sold. They had farming catalogs back then those days, and we cut my bees from them, and I had to ditch school one day when the bees arrived by the postman, and I haven't looked back since. I've been keeping bees forever since. Now I don't do too much with bees here except for teach. I'm into education. That's where my job is now, or my enjoyment is now, is teaching bees to people.
To mentor them and get them going
here too. So I have beekeeping classes, advanced ones and intermediate ones. And
is that out of City College?
Or? No, it's out of actually it's through SBBEA, and it's also under different places, mainly at La Casa de Maria. They've been very accommodating with me for my classes, and I teach up there a couple classes.
But
you are
in your real life, you're a teacher.
I'm a high school teacher at La Cuesta Continuation High School, which is just down the street, and I actually bring the bees into the classroom, and it creates a really good impression for students, connects me with the students.
Until the first lawsuit. But you've been doing it for years, no problem. Now, you did have a story. I emailed you, and I said, what about the car story? And you said, what car?
Yeah, what car?
Do you remember it?
Okay, it was probably the one where I had some bees in the front seat of my truck, and I was on my way over to City College to give a presentation to Alan Green's horticulture class or environmental studies class, and unfortunately I kept them in there too long and they found their way out. So when I looked outside the classroom, there was those bees all up inside my my cab of my truck. So I made it a learning experience for my students. We went out there and we all stood around the truck, and I gave them, okay, what do we do now kind of a scenario. And they said everything from open the door or throw a firecracker in there too, or whatever the situation was. But as it turns out, I said, well, this is what I'm going to do. And so I basically, after school was over, I got into my truck, and I just drove my truck home to where I'd gotten the bees from. And then I opened the door, and all the bees went back to their hive.
So
I was driving down the road here thinking, what if I get pulled over? I'm going to have to explain, what are all these bees in here? And so I took the back way
home. So you opened the door and maybe a few
They all mostly went back here. Some of them, unfortunately, when they stayed in there too long, they were in there for about a couple hours, ended up dying in there.
But when you got into the car
and you
opened the door, they didn't fly out?
No, they didn't fly. I went in there really quickly. A couple escaped, but real quickly. And I didn't put my bee suit on or anything or my hood because I knew when I got in the car they wouldn't sting me just because they seem to know they know who you are. I talk to my bees every day, call them by name.
I talk to my bees, but they don't listen to me. Yeah. I think I wrote that song.
Okay.
Paul Cronshaw, let's see. I can't remember. We've been talking for a while. Let's take a break.
All right.
Let's take a break and have some honey. The Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association, Paul Cronshaw, been working bees for 40 years. Sounds like he's got a little pollen on the brain. He's communicating. The bee whisperer's got a little. And you can find them at sbba.org. And I had originally didn't know your organization. I thought it was the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. There was a typo.
No, we actually call a short name for a beekeeper is a beak.
The beak? Oh, there you go.
BEEK.
There you go. That's so I'm not too far off.
Nope.
And you mentioned about that they're wild animals, you can't domesticate them, but when we come back, I want to ask you about something that we talked about training bees a while ago. It doesn't seem to be still around, and we're talking about some city and county rules if you wanted to hold some bees. So beware, we'll be back.